This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. That would be on the internet. If you don't have 790 on your dial, on your car or at your home, in your garage, in your office, if you don't have that radio station, you can't get it. You can always go to KBC.com. And if you don't have that station, 790 KBC, then you're probably not hearing this, so you don't know that you can go to KBC.com. You could listen to podcasts. If you don't hear this live Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., you can go to a podcast at Gervy's Law. But if you didn't hear this, then you wouldn't know to do that either. Or you can go to the Facebook page, Gervy's Law Facebook page, and you can find out how to hear this show. But if you didn't hear that, then you wouldn't know to go to the Facebook page. My name is Alan Gervy. If you didn't know that, then you probably haven't listened to the show before. And if you did know it, I hope it was because of a good reason that you knew my name was Alan Gervy, being the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today I have to say this, it's part of my contract. I am the managing partner of your life.
That's part of the contract. It's written in.
I have to manage people's lives. I can't just manage my own life. And with me today on Gervy's Law is the one and only Carrie Kasem.
Well, hello.
Where are the applause?
I don't know. It should be there.
I'm not sure, but I know they are thinking about providing applause for you.
Yeah.
It was quite a week, Carrie. Lots of things happening. We have a great show. We'll talk about a few things that happened this week, because I know you have an opinion. You've never not had an opinion on anything. Is there anything you don't have an opinion on?
Yes, yes. What? When you and Erwin Chemerinsky go at it, and I have no idea. It's like speaking another language. You two with these the legal scholars. I can't. Nothing to say.
Okay, I have to ask you something.
Okay.
Did we talk about mentioning Erwin Chemerinsky before the show, before we went on there?
Not
one
time.
Not one time. It's unbelievable.
Why?
The synergy that we have, the way that we think together, because I was just about to tease the show subject matter, and Erwin Chemerinsky is really such an integral part of what we're going to talk about today. Well, not really an integral part.
But yeah, I mean, he'd probably have an opinion on it,
for sure. No, he doesn't have an opinion.
No? Okay.
We are talking about the California State Bar Exam, where the results just came out, and it was the lowest passing rate for 30 years. 27.3% of the applicants, 4,701 applicants, and only 1,267 passed, 27.3%, one of the first times below 30%. And so why do I mention Erwin Chemerinsky? Erwin Chemerinsky taught me bar preparation.
He taught the bar prep?
He did. He still does, I believe. I know he moved up to Berkeley because he's now the dean of the Berkeley Law School. And, well, he was the dean of the Irvine Law School, and of course, he's been on the show a number of times. But one of the things that he did, for many years, and may still do, is he taught students bar prep. And apparently he did a pretty good job because, they were passing at a higher rate than they did this year, unless he was also prepping. So he prepped me, many years ago, and you mentioned Erwin's name, and, he's known amongst a lot of people who took, either Barbary or Kaplan or some of the other courses to prepare for the bar. A lot of people spent a lot of money this year preparing for the bar and no such luck.
Wow. You know, there is the fact that the English language is really, people don't understand it. And I've taken a class on learning how to relearn. And no joke, it's the fact that people don't know words. They don't understand the meanings of them. Even the word for or to or the small words. If you ask people the meaning of it, they can't give you definitions. And it's, I'm telling you,
I don't know
it's
what you're talking about. You people don't know what the number two means.
No. Like if you, I'm dead serious. No. There's a whole study done on this. There's a whole study done on the fact that people don't know.
You're talking about the population in New Guinea.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about this is out of colleges. This is out of prestigious colleges. People don't understand the meanings of words anymore. They give themselves their own meanings or they just don't.
We'll find out.
And they're not understanding.
We're going to talk to Mary Basic, who's the Assistant Dean of Bar Preparation and Associate Professor of Law for Academic Success in Bar Preparation at the Southwestern Law School. After the break, we're going to talk with her and we'll ask her those questions if that's maybe one of the reasons why so many people are failing the California bar exam, or perhaps the bar exam is just too difficult. Later on the show, we'll welcome Alex Shekarshian. I have such trouble with names that have like three or four syllables. Why is that?
Shekarshian? Is it Armenian?
Chian, not Chian.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It's not Armenian. I think it's Persian. Armenian is
I-A-N. Yeah.
Yeah, but he speaks Farsi.
Yeah.
Alex Shekarshian. Shekarshian.
I do too, though. I mean, I don't think anybody has easy time.
You have a much better time with names. I can only pronounce names that are like two and four, like just one syllable. Okay. So Alex will join us and he's actually an entertainment attorney. He's a manager. And so, you know, Carrie is involved in the entertainment industry and he also prepares people for the bar exam. And we're going to have to ask both of these people, Carrie, if they really screwed up this year because not many people passed.
They don't understand things. I'm telling you, read something. And have you ever had that where you're reading a page? Let me tell you, I'm going to show you how real this is. Listen to this. If you pass a misunderstood word, I'm just telling you this right now, you can go blank on an entire page. Have you ever read a page knowing you read every single word but you're blank?
Well, that's when your mind wanders.
No, it's when you've actually hit a misunderstood word you don't know. Some people can continue through. Some people's minds can continue and they'll get most of it. Some people's, they literally just turn off because you didn't understand a word. It's very true. And
My mind has kind of just turned off listening to you because I didn't understand a word you're saying.
There you go. You don't understand it. And people don't
true.
Understand.
I know because I studied Shakespeare when I was younger and some of the words I didn't understand. And then I just kind of got lost and said.
And then you quit Shakespeare. People quit things they don't understand.
I didn't quit. I just put it aside for another day.
Do you remember any of your Shakespeare?
Absolutely.
It's the only thing I remember from college is my Shakespeare. I can't remember anything else except Shakespeare.
Later on in the show, near the end of the show, we will have one of the successful bar takers, Robert Castillo, will join us, and he was one of the 27.3% that did pass. So we're going to talk a lot about the California State Bar. Really interesting because a lot of people put money, time, effort into it, and they want to do what I do. I'm not sure why. They want to be lawyers, and unfortunately this year...
You're not sure why?
I'm not sure why.
Because you help people.
No.
You do.
People just get frustrated. It's a stressful job, one of the highest stressful
There's
jobs.
A lot of bad attorneys, and there's a lot of bad attorneys that do it for the money and they don't actually want to help. You help people.
Speaking of bad attorneys, do you think that an attorney who, for instance, represents Harvey Weinstein, should be saying that he was indicted this past week.
Yes,
he should be saying that he is going, should be playing this out in the media and say that he's going to be acquitted, where the DA is saying, you know what, we'll do our arguing in court.
I think that was, I haven't heard it, but if this
Mr.
person
Brafman.
Actually came out and said that, shame on him.
He was supposed to be on our show, but he declined. I'm not sure why, Mr. Brafman, but he did say that he was going to show that Harvey Weinstein was not guilty, maybe, you know, poor moral judgment, may have been some consensual sex, but not.
Well, wow.
He deserves his day in court, and we'll see, and hopefully he'll present some good arguments. Tom Mesro, who's been on a show quite a bit, said that Bill Cosby was going to be acquitted. That didn't happen.
No.
So I'm not so sure that you're going to find juries these days that are going to be so sympathetic. The public opinion and the jury on Roseanne, apparently not that sympathetic.
What I'm sympathetic towards are all the people that lost their jobs because of her stupidity, her racism, all these people that probably bought houses or that thought, oh my gosh, my life is back on track. They're all of them have lost all these jobs, these high paying jobs.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I feel that's what I feel bad for.
Do you think that they should have canceled the show?
No, I think they should have docked her pay and said, you're not going to, all that money, you need to put that into, you know, programs that are, you know, for humanitarian causes. You should do something to pay back what you did and the harm you caused, but not destroy the show and all those people that work so hard behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's make her pay for it.
Yeah.
But don't destroy everybody's lives.
But then how do you deal? And I think that's a good idea, by the way, but how do you deal with her on the set and everything?
I know, that's another thing.
And I don't know that ABC would have been able to withstand the public opinion. I mean, everything seems to happen in public opinion these days.
Yeah.
So while you give, I think, a good reason to maybe keep the show going and get some money and build up some goodwill.
Yes. I mean, talk about tolerance. Give money to programs that do that. That reach out to
build
people.
A museum of tolerance.
Anything, just but.
Well, they have one of those in
they
LA.
Have that.
Why don't people
have that,
go
yeah.
to see it?
I have, and I've gone to the one in DC. I've been
yeah,
out to the
museum.
It's
amazing, the one in DC.
It's incredible.
But people have to learn that way. I mean, I'm just so sick of hearing everyone talking. Everyone's a hero when they're tweeting and they're saying all this stuff. Why don't they do real things? Just like you just said, why don't they take some money and, you know, establish, either a museum or establish programs or, you know, consciousness and help the masses, not just go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and tweet.
That and take drugs and tweet. You know, she was on some prescription drug.
Ambien, I think it was.
Yeah. And then blaming it on that, with, you know?
Yeah. And then the sharp people, the smarty pants say, oh, I didn't know you could take Ambien and become a racist. I mean, okay, everyone's.
I have to say, I had somebody, an ex-boyfriend who was on Xanax and Ambien, I abhor these drugs. I watched him for a year take that. He had a sleep issue. Chunks of his life would be missing. He would be with me and not remember anything we did.
How was the sex with him?
What?
Well,
what are you talking about?
The medication.
You crazy man.
No, the medication affects
crazy
the ability.
Man.
Didn't you see that, that show, what's that show in New York with
Bradshaw?
Carrie Bradshaw.
Never saw it. Swear to God.
What's
Sex in the
show?
City.
Sex in the City.
Never
yeah.
saw it.
The guy, this really good-looking guy, was lying in bed, and there was, like, nothing happening, and she really wanted to be with him, and he said, well, you know, I'm taking all these medications. I'm happy. I'm sleeping well and everything.
But I can't have sex.
Right. All right. We'll leave you with that. Oh, with that thought.
That's great, Alan. Thank you.
We're going to talk to Mary Basic. We're going to get to the basic issues with respect to the California State Bar failures after this message. You're listening, if you're still listening, to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
I don't know how else to say this, so I'll just say it.
What is it, Linda?
I think we should see other people.
Are you breaking up with me on a roller coaster?
Well, we do have a lot of fun. Maybe we should stay together.
An emotional roller coaster? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
I just need a little me time.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Well, Yeah. I think they're going to say school's out at some point.
Somewhere. School's out for summer. School's out forever.
And for some lawyers, school may be out forever. Especially if you didn't pass the bar. And don't laugh. That's not funny. That's a lot of people that we're talking about.
A lot of people don't pass the bar. JFK Jr. didn't pass the bar 3 times.
So, Carrie, you mentioned JFK Jr. Let me name a few other people and tell me what they have in common. Hillary Clinton, yep. Jerry Brown, Michelle Obama, Kathleen Sullivan, who's the dean of Stanford Law School, Ed Koch, former mayor of New York, Kamala Harris, Pete Wilson, Antonio Villaraigosa, Anthony Scaramucci. What do they all have in common?
My guess is they didn't pass the bar the first time.
That's correct. That is.
Do I win anything?
You'd win nothing.
Can you give me some money?
No, but a lot of people invest a lot of money into their bar preparation. Yeah. And it's really incredible to see a rate of 27.3% passing.
That's crazy.
Which is the lowest rate in about 30 years. And we had approximately 4,700 applicants this year. 1,267 passed. And 39% of the first-timers passed. And then only 23% of the repeat applicants passed. We need to find out what's going on with this bar exam. I don't know whether it's the fault of the bar exam itself or for perhaps the kids. I shouldn't say kids because a lot of them are adults.
Now.
Or maybe it's the people who are preparing them. But I don't think we want to talk to the people about that who are on our show. And I want to welcome, first of all, Mary Basic, who's the Assistant Dean of Bar Preparation and the Associate Professor of Law for Academic Success and Bar Preparation. She is an expert in this area. She's written or co-written, actually, a number of books and guides, essay exam writing for the California Bar Exam, multi-state bar exam flashcards, California performance test, workbooks, all of this stuff. So she knows what's going on. Mary, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi there.
Good to have you. You're at Southwestern Law School, and you have devoted a lot of your time and energy into helping students prepare for the bar exam. So you have some credibility here. Tell us, why is it that the passage rate is so low this past sitting?
I think it's reflective of a trend that we've been having for quite a while with the bar passage rate declining. And the folks who make the test, the National Committee of Bar Examiners and the California Bar Exam folks, like to say it's that the students aren't as good as they used to be and like to blame the students. However, I think it's really more of a situation that this test is a complete mismatch for our modern society. It's a test that really requires a huge amount of memorization, and this isn't just how we all operate anymore. And I think it's just becoming this widening gulf between how we all access information and how this test is testing students' knowledge.
You know, it's interesting because I recently took a tour of a kindergarten class because my son will be going to kindergarten, and the kids were sitting there with iPads. And I asked the principal who was taking us on the tour, why is there so much time spent with iPads? And she said, well, nowadays things are very different than when you went to school, and the attention spans are a lot shorter, and the kids do much better. They're much better behaved when they have an iPad in their hand versus listening to a teacher. So I didn't really buy that because I figured, you know, maybe that is a consequence of the world we live in now, but I'm not sure I want to promote that with school, especially starting in kindergarten. Is that something, and you know, I think your theory is a good one, but is that maybe what we're dealing with, and does that make it right?
Well, I don't even know if it's a matter of right or wrong, as it's just an acknowledgement of what exists. So the bar exam in the past 10 years, which really we've seen a whole lot of decline, they have they keep adding subjects that they're testing. And so I think we get to a certain point where students are at cognitive overload for how much you could possibly shove in your head in a 2-month period. But besides that, you think about being a lawyer, nobody's expecting lawyers to have memorized vast sums of material rules that they pull out of their head to use, but that's what the bar exam is testing them on doing. It just is a complete mismatch between what lawyers actually do and how they're being tested on their competency. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, has it gotten harder? Is that what, because a 2 month cramming, because if it's getting, you know, the passing is getting, the percentage is getting lower and lower and lower. Has it changed over the years? Has it gotten harder?
It has. So they're in two ways that I have seen. In the past about 10 years, more or less, they have added subjects. So to the MBE part, the multiple choice part of the exam, it used to be on six subjects. They have added a seventh subject. And those subjects you have to know in excruciating detail. So it's a whole lot more material than the California bar. So the multiple choice part is across the whole country. Most of the states are using it. But then the California bar, so not as to be outdone, they started adding subjects. So they added agency and partnership. They added Civ Pro, but for California. And they added evidence for California. What happened is it gobbled up so much more time during bar prep that there was really little time for students to actually memorize all of it. So in that way, the bar has gotten harder,
but
certainly just by having more material to know.
But when you and I took the bar, it was 3 days, and now in California, now it's 2 days. And one of those days is the multi-state, which you reference now, which mm-hmm. I assume is going to be the same, the multiple choice, 200 multiple choice questions or however many. And that's over 1 day, which other states use. So when you're looking at an extraordinarily low passage rate, you're looking at basically 1 day of essays for California versus the multi-state, which is the other day. And does it reflect essays? We assume there is some subjectivity in grading. Does it reflect just a really difficult standard in grading for the California essays?
Well, here's what they do. In California, we have the second highest cut score in the country. So our students, that applies to the multi-state part. Our students have to do much better on the multi-state to pass California. Then what California does is it's kind of complicated to explain, and wouldn't do it justice, but they equate their essay grades to their cut score. So in California, our students get double hit with this very high cut score. So they have to perform much higher than most of the states on the MBE and also on the essay. So I do think it's gotten more difficult. During the same time period, what the bar examiners are saying, oh, you're taking students with you know, lower credentials.
Right.
However, one of my colleagues who is working at a school in Colorado, their school was able to maintain their stats on everybody that came in. They had no decrease in their LSAT. And over a 10-year period, they saw their MBE scores go down by 10%. So I do think the exam is getting more difficult. The National Committee of Bar Examiners releases such little information, it's really hard to pinpoint what it is.
Is there some politics that come into play trying to reduce the number of attorneys in a state like California, which has an abundance of them?
I think that's part of it, because the California State Bar Examiners were under a tremendous amount of pressure to look at that cut score again, given that we're quite outliers compared to what everybody else is doing. And they surveyed all of the attorneys in the state, and by overwhelming percentage, all of the existing attorneys said, hey, keep the cut score right where it is. Thank you very much. Because it protects them. It's less competition and things
right.
of that nature. However, having this higher cut score that we have in California, as best I can tell, I've never seen any report that indicates it has any correlation to discipline of attorneys or competencies or anything like that. It seems pretty arbitrary.
How frustrating are your students? You've spent so much time and energy preparing people for this exam. How do you deal with the frustration and the upset that exists after they learn that they did not pass?
Well, of course it's super frustrating. Most of them miss by a tiny bit, and they would pass in any other state, and they know that. So we fine-tune what they're doing, and they take it again, and usually they pass. So that's, I guess, partly why I think that this thing about the test score, it's not teaching people or even assessing if students are going to be good, capable attorneys, the minimal competence standard they say it is. All they're learning is how to better take this one particular test.
Yeah, but the repeat applicants pass rate was 23%. So apparently there's a lot of repeat applicants who are not passing.
Well, and that is true. And I think that usually if they're going to pass, it'll be within a second or third try, pretty close. Once you get really far in time and space from the time of having been in law school, it gets much, much harder because not even for any reason other than usually people have to support themselves. And so they aren't able to take the couple months of devoted study it takes to master all of this memorization.
Mm-hmm. What about, and we have to take a quick break, but I want to ask about the Productive Mindset Intervention Program. That's something that the bar has talked about that they think will help increase the passage rate.
Well, I'll tell you what I did a bunch of research. I could find very little on it. And one of my students forwarded on the letter where they were invited to participate in this program, and as best I can tell, the program consists of students having access to stories of other bar takers who have had success.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not too impressed.
I wouldn't be either. I mean, I think some of the ideas that you're talking about are things that really need to be explored in terms of getting this test to a level where it's easier to understand, to take, and to pass versus trying to have these, I don't know what they are, excuses and saying, oh, you'll use these big words like productive mindset intervention to increase the passage rate. Mary, I want to thank you very much for being with us today on Gervie's Law. Some really insightful comments, and hopefully, you know, I my heart goes out to a lot of people who put in their heart and soul to pass, and I don't think it's fair if they make it so difficult that the passage rate is 27%. But thanks for being with us today, Mary.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
You know, Carrie, we're going to talk a little bit more about this after the break, but we have to take a quick break. Right now, it is time for a little Talking Heads. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. President Trump's lawyers argue in a 20-page confidential January letter to Special Counsel Robert Mueller that the president cannot illegally obstruct the Russia probe because the president has authority over all federal investigations. The letter from Trump attorney Jay Sekulow and then Trump lawyer John Dowd says that Trump could not have possibly committed obstruction in the Russia investigation because the Constitution empowers the president to terminate the inquiry. Finance ministers from the world's six largest economies in a rare step expressed disappointment over President Trump's unilateral decision to slap tariffs on steel and aluminum on its allies. Top officials of the Group of Seven, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the UK, asked U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to convey their unanimous concern and disappointment to the U.S. president. KABC SoCal weather, mostly clear in the evening, then areas of low clouds and fog overnight, with lows in the mid-50s to around 60. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Imagine what you'd do with an extra $1,000 or two in your account every single month. Attend a free class to learn what the Wall Street Boys hope you'll never find out. If you call now, the Online Trading Academy will comp the class and even send you home with a free $247 home study course. And then you can start to make your dreams a reality. Call 888-991-TRADE, 888-991-TRADE. Call 888-991-TRADE. That's 888-991-TRADE.
Saturday mornings at 7, backed by popular demand, it's the Real Estate Zone with Danny Batsalkin. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, learn the strategies and secrets from the pros. That's Saturdays at 7, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry.
Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
We all have issues, so let's start talking.
In Your Right Mind is a new weekly behavioral health show that focuses on issues that pertain to just about everyone.
Join me, Dr. Tanmoy Sharma, and my co-host, Christina Kusner, as we highlight topics that get people talking.
In Your Right Mind is every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right. I'll listen to this if I have to. No choice. They chose me. Unfortunately, for the California State Bar, they didn't choose a lot of people. A lot of them didn't pass. We're talking about that today here on Gervey's Law. You just heard from Mary Basic, who basically blamed, I'm not using a pun on her name, but she basically blamed the exam for the failure rate versus the students or the preparers of the students. Now we're going to welcome to Gervey's Law Alex Shekarchian, who is, I would say he's kind of like a Superman. He just does a lot of stuff. He's got a company called AS Management. He's a manager and an attorney and a teacher and a producer. He's worked with a lot of students in the Barbary tutoring course. He's produced a couple things and represented a number of talent in the entertainment industry. Alex, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for that introduction.
It's great. Yeah, that's probably the best introduction you're going to get today.
I think it's the best one I'm going to get ever, let's be honest.
Not ever, no. I'm sure tomorrow you'll have another good one, but, you know, it's late in the day, so that's the best you get. So tell us a little bit about your background with the California Bar, because I know you spent some time preparing students, and now we find out that 27% of the applicants pass, and it's gotta affect you because you've put so much time, heart, and soul in trying to help people do this, and you know, hey, it's a frustrating result.
Well, yeah, definitely. So over the past decade, I've worked at Barbary, actually the competitor Kaplan as well, helping students pass the bar exam. And as you said, I'm a jack of all trades, but being an attorney, a manager, a producer, and a lawyer, the one thing I do is give advice. So when I give my students advice on the bar exam, one of the main things that we would go over is that one of the essays and one of the performance tests are always going to mess you up. In over the, you know, past maybe even 15, 16 years of the bar exam, there was always one essay, one performance test that was so hard that everyone just did horribly on it. And then basically what happens is when you lower it to a two-day exam, now, yeah, the essays, it's only lowering it by one.
Right.
But taking out the performance test, basically people would bomb a performance test and bomb one essay, which I saw on average, grading thousands of these exams. I'd say almost every student, no matter who they were, what school they went to, they would just do terribly on one essay and one performance test. But as long as you got over it, as long as you didn't let them ruin you, which was the trick on passing for the most people, and you were able to move on to the next essay, put it out of your mind and do well on that one, well, you can make up for it.
Well,
now
go ahead, Alex. Sorry. But I was just going to say, you know, it's really interesting what you're talking about because it sounds like it's more of a mental thing than an intellectual thing.
I would say it's mental, but I would say a lot of the students that I saw that didn't pass also, it was organizational. Sometimes a student, when I would grade the exam, what happens is you forget the people component, right? Someone is grading this exam. Someone's sitting there, they've made their own checklist on what they think all the issues are. They go into a bar exam prep kind of center where all the graders are kind of taught to grade this uniformly, and then they make sure that they have a refined checklist. But someone's going through it with their checklist, even if it's 3 or 4 pages long, and telling you whether or not you deserve so-and-so grade on your essay or your performance test. Now, what a lot of students do is they won't use headings, or maybe they had all the answers right, but they presented in such a way, they rambled, maybe like kind of what I'm doing right now, but they would ramble, and all their issues that they actually did spot would get lost to a grader. So some of it is, you know, the way that the exam is graded. Some of it is on the students not being organized and presenting the answers the right way. Some of it's on the students not knowing the answers. And then a lot of it's psychological.
Yeah.
I would say the most part is being calm, sleeping before. I mean, I would go through breathing exercises with my students so that they'd be, you know, not freaking out the night before or the next day. And again, like I said, if you did horribly on an essay, not letting it run into the next essay.
You know, I've talked to people taking the bar, friends of mine, people that I've known, and I can't tell you how many people had so much prescription drug abuse by, you know, I have to stay up and take this. I'm going to take this methamphetamine. I'm going to take that. Do you find that you're seeing that more and more with kids? Because, I mean, this was a way back when, and they were doing it then, and it seemed like that's drug use.
Oh, yeah. And ADD medication was rampant when I was going to law school, which was a long time ago. I was too scared to take it because I just was like, I know how I do well on tests. I never did this before. I don't want to have my career rely on this thing that I've never tried before. But I had a lot of friends who were doing it. And that thing of what I said about just rambling in the essays, what ADD drug use does, sure, it lets you do a lot more work, which is why kids seem to excel in regular school for it, because you could write a lot of stuff. But what it doesn't do is it affects your ability to proofread and kind of like edit it out and make it very clear to the grader, look, these are the issues I'm spotting. And you have like sub issues and everything like that, which I think that the ADD medication, which a lot of students use, in my opinion, to get an advantage, is actually probably harming them on the bar exam.
You know, it's interesting you said, because I totally agree, and I think it's an excellent point, and I think that's part of the preparation. I happen to remember my preparation for the bar was just a wonderful experience, because I was working at NBC at the time, and I took off a month before, or 6 weeks before the bar exam, and I had so much time, because I wasn't working, and I wasn't in school, so I got lots of sleep. I would, you know, study. I take the course, the Barbary course, I think I took for the morning, and then I'd study in the afternoon and have a nice dinner. I'd go to movies. It was such a great time for me. And then when I got to write the bar exam, I know that was a tough one, but the focus was so much there. And I stayed in a hotel where I was writing the exam. And I just went and did it, and I didn't get emotionally involved. I think I kind of secretly wanted to fail so that I didn't have to do this for the rest of my life. So maybe that was easier. But do you find that there are people that really, you know, focus and treat it with the kind of, just the organization level that allows them to just kind of get through it without really a lot of stress?
Yeah, I mean, like, the one thing that I tell these, I say kids, but a lot of them are adults, but the one thing I tell these kids is, you've been doing this your whole life. It's just another test. When you start making it more than that, I think is when it puts the weight on it. I mean, literally, since they were in kindergarten, undergrad, high school, law school, like, these kids have been taking a lot of tests. LSATs, SATs, they're used to this. It's only when they put the weight of this is the bar exam, this is the hardest test, that I think that it really, you know, stresses them out. But what I found is the people who do approach it like you, or I mean, your experience is almost identical to mine. You sleep, you're like, okay, I'm going to put this time aside for studying.
Right.
And again, yeah, you don't need the 3 months. I tell students too, it's really just 1 month of buckling down, 2 months of preparing for that 1 month of buckling down. And yeah, when they do that and do stay in the hotel so that they're acclimated and when they're just able to do, again, like I said, breathing exercises to calm themselves down if they need it, those are the ones that tend to really have an easy time. The ones that go into it freaking out, really stressing themselves out about it, making it really important, making it bigger than it is, those are the ones that I see seem to repeat. So it seems to be that is a huge factor.
You know, Mary Basic, who was just on the show, an assistant dean of bar preparation, associate professor of law for academic success and bar preparation at Southwestern Law School, said that the materials have become too involved. There's too much work for there's too many areas of law to learn, and the test deals with too many areas. Do you think that that's a legitimate gripe for this bar exam, or do you think it's more what you're talking about, just people kind of freaking out and not getting it done?
Well, like I said, I think there's more to when you lessened it to 5 essays and just 1 performance test, it makes each of the essays way more. And there are more areas that you have to be prepared for, but that seems like a lazy excuse, in my opinion. I think that people, students who, you know, they know this material. It's not like we are required to know some unascertainable amount.
Yeah.
The whole thing about law school is it feels like too much information. From the very first day you get into law school, it feels like too much. But as soon as you get to chapter 13, as soon as you get through all the information and it becomes quantifiable, students are able to tackle that amount of information. These are a ton of smart, bright individuals. I don't think it's just the amount of law that they're required to know, because I think that's always been a thing that we've been associated with. We have to know a lot of law. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the psychological aspect. The February bar passage rate obviously is usually unique circumstances. It's people who are already repeating, or people who are graduating early, or people who are graduating late. February has always been a peculiar one.
Yeah.
You know, the July one, to be fair, kind of was up from 2016. So, I mean, I think we'll be able to tell a lot more after the July 2018 exam. But I do think that it's a lot of the psychological aspects of it. But yeah, sure, maybe kids are, or not, again, I say kids, but
yeah, a lot no, of we know what you're saying. But I think those are good points, and I think maybe we shouldn't be saying that the sky is falling yet. Wait for the results from the July test.
Yeah.
And also, I think people like you who look at it from this humanistic perspective, not simply from the materials perspective, I think that's important. And I think kids, I'm going to use the same term that you are. I think it's important that there are people like you who are expressing these issues and dealing with people to prepare them in a way that's not just intellectual, like we were talking about Aaron Chemerinsky before. You know, he's great with the materials, but you have to balance. Did he teach you as well in your course?
He did, and luckily enough, I got to work with him. And to this day, anytime there's a con law issue in the media or in the news, I'll just shoot him an email, and he gets right back to me. And I would say he is just such a great legal mind.
Yeah,
I
have
the utmost respect for him.
We've had him on the show a number of times, and he's a friend of the show, and we, you know, appreciate, but I think you have to have the balance of what you're talking about and what Irwin can offer. Alex Chikarchian, I want to thank you so much. It's of AS Management. The guy does everything, so we appreciate your comments today on Gervie's Law.
Of course. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this message. We'll talk to Robert Castillo, and we'll talk about passing the bar exam. He just did it. We're your talking heads. Harry Kasem and Alan Gervie will be right back.
If you're traveling to Latin America or the Caribbean to visit friends and relatives, you can protect yourself and your loved ones from Zika. There are ways to prevent Zika before, during, and after your trip, like packing and using an EPA-registered insect repellent with an active ingredient like DEET or picaridin. Pregnant women should not travel to an area with a risk of Zika. Visit cdc.gov/viajosinzika to learn more ways to stay healthy.
Are you looking for an alternative to drug and alcohol rehabilitation that allows you to recover in the privacy of your own home with an individualized program? The Key Light Company's Concierge Detox LA can be that alternative. Headed by Dr. Damon Raskin, addiction specialist, and clinical psychologist Dr. Howard Gless, Concierge Detox LA can meet your recovery needs. For more information, contact Concierge Detox LA at 323-935-9712. That's 323-935-9712.
Memorial Day weekend has come and gone, and that summer breeze and sweet jasmine in the air reminds us that we'll soon have extreme heat, overgrown hillside brush, and that high danger of wildfires. It's time to add an extra layer of protection with the easily installed Embers Out gable vents. If you have a home on a hillside area, go outdoors and take a look at those old flimsy attic vents where hot burning embers can slip in and burn your home from the inside out. Don't let another fire season put your home in jeopardy. The sooner you order your Embers Out gable vents, the more protection you provide to your home and family. When hot burning embers are airborne, they can travel up to 2 miles from the flames right into your attic through the wide open older vents. Be proactive. Go to embersout.com. Get the easy to install Embers Out gable vents today. Summer fires are coming. Don't continue to leave your home unprotected. Go to embersout.com.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
The KABC 30-minute non-stop news blitz at 8, noon, and 4. The biggest news stories of the day delivered in 30 minutes or your money back. On your way to work with Doug, Leanne, and Randy at 8. At lunchtime with Dr. Drew and Lauren at noon. And on your drive home with Jillian and John at 4. The 30-minute non-stop news blitz on 790 KABC, where the news watch never stops.
In 3, 2, 1.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll go over all the shenanigans that happened over the weekend.
Plus, I've got some great Father's Day gifts ideas for you. How about a meat-scented candle, ladies, for your guy?
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Savant on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Beef. It's what's for
Father's Day!
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Well, I don't know if the glass was half full for everyone who took the bar exam this past sitting. So many failed, so I guess it wasn't half full, unfortunately. 27% passed. And it's interesting, Carrie, we talked to Mary Basic, who is Assistant Dean of Bar Preparation at Southwestern Law School, Alex Shakarshian, who did the Barbary course. They both have different perspectives. Mary, of course, talked more from the academics perspective, talking about how difficult the subject matter is and the abundance of subject matter. And Alex talked about the human element, about preparing yourself and relaxing and not taking drugs, being able to be focused and to get through the exam. We want to bring on right now Robert Castillo, who is one of the successful passing candidates for the bar exam. He was an applicant of the 4,701. He was one of them that passed this past state bar exam. And now he is an attorney, a full-fledged attorney. I know he has to get sworn in. I just want to welcome. And first, we got to congratulate Robert for passing. Robert Castillo, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So how did you do it? So many people failed. And you passed. So what was up with this test?
It was definitely difficult. It was a really tough test. You know, it's just a lot of work. You know, if you're willing to put in the work and really just grind it out, you know, anyone can pass it. But, you know, you just got to stay consistent.
But do you think that there's a real mental element? Because Alex Shakarchian talked about how people get psyched out, and if they have an essay that they don't know, a performance test that they really have a problem with, that it psychs them out, and then they kind of blow it on the rest of the exam.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that there's always going to be something on there that you kind of freak out about.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to stay calm and just kind of do your best. You know, I know that there was an answer. I think it was a wills and trust question, and me and one of my friends who took it got completely different answers, you know, on certain things. And it's like, oh man, did I do something wrong? Did he do something wrong? You know, but you just kind of go and you just do your thing, and it's exactly true. Like,
Well, it begs the question, Robert, did he pass?
He did not pass.
Yeah.
There you go. You just answered your own question.
I asked this question of the last, our last guest, and I just want to know how rampant, and did you take ADD drugs? I mean, I don't know if you even want to answer that. It seems like it's everywhere. It seems like everybody's on methamphetamine. Right.
Yeah, I did not take drugs.
Okay. So, well, at least that's what you're saying.
I wouldn't advise taking drugs. But no, you know, it really was, my problem was that my writing was definitely not up to par. I took it twice prior to this last one. And, you know, each time that came back, I was getting 55, 60s, you know, 65 maybe here and there. But so I really worked hard on the essays. Doing as many essays as I could and really breaking down their answers, and seeing what I could improve on. My advice would be just do as many practice questions, both MBE and, essays as possible.
What about the preparation courses? Did you take preparation courses and do they make a difference?
Yeah, they definitely make a difference. I took Barbary the first time around. It was interesting. It was an interesting experience. They throw a lot of information at you. The second time around, Barbary actually offers, if you don't pass the first time, you can retake the course. I did that, but I didn't do it as extensively as I could have. And then this last time around, I bought a book online that was for, like prior essays, and it really breaks down the questions. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find, the book on me. But I mean, if you go on Amazon and just Google, Amazon and, you know, search for bar, you know, essay books, yeah, and that kind of thing, you know, they have a ton of resources out there. And like I said, I would just do as many essays as I could, and really break them down. And that's really how I learned how to write correctly.
Do you think that it's to your advantage to take time off work or out of school or whatever to really just focus on it? Or is that information overload?
I was working like half days, and luckily I had a boss who was really cool about it. So I would come in like the mornings and leave around 1 or 2 and then focus the rest of my time on the bar. It helped me, and that was at first, and it helped me because I could kind of take my mind off of things that were, you know, contracts and constitutional law,
right?
You know, and it's like, so it helped me kind of to get away from that for a bit. And then probably around February 1st or 2nd, I really just focused on bar.
Yeah, I think that's important. Now, you said you had a boss who was really compassionate and wanted to make sure that you did well. Alan Wax, he of Wax and Wax. Now, that's the gentleman that you're speaking of?
That is him.
Wow. You know, I think it's important to have an employer who supports you. And in this case, Alan Wax did that of Wax and Wax. Are you still working for Wax and Wax, or since you've passed the bar, they can't afford you?
Yeah, I'm still here. You know, I haven't had that discussion with him yet. That should be interesting. But I'm definitely going to be here. And you know, that's the great thing about Alan is that he's been so supportive over it. So I think it's, you know, that's another important aspect, is to have really people who support you and who will be understanding of your schedule and everything, because it's a lot of work. So he was really cool about it.
What type of law are you practicing?
It's workers' comp.
Oh, like Alan. Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. I saw him today, actually.
Yeah, right. I said, so congratulations. I was so happy to see
that's
at
awesome.
Court.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's at court, a lawyer. And it really is something to get this off your mind and off your chest to pass the bar. You have your your whole career ahead of you. And we have to close it out. But, Robert, we want to wish you all the luck and congratulations. You are going down in history as passing one of the most difficult California state bars with one of the lowest passage rates in the history of the California state bar. So that's quite an accomplishment. So good luck in your career with Wax and Wax. And again, congratulations and make sure you get that raise.
Oh, he's going to kill you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
You too. Carrie, that's going to do it. We learned everything we wanted to learn about the California State Bar today.
That I will never take it.
You will never take it. A lot of people don't want to. I think after listening to the show, a lot of people are saying, you know what? I'll pass. Mm. I'm just going to go and work at Starbucks.
Yeah. I mean, hey. That's not such a bad job.
No, it isn't.
Good benefits.
It's a great job. You can have coffee all day long. Stay awake. You don't even need to take drugs.
No.
We have another great show of Gurry's Law coming up next week. You're not going to want to miss it. Everyone have a great week, and thanks for listening.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gurry & Winn.